NPR.
So I'm just going to be upfront here. Today's story, it is kind of a bummer for ladies.
Love a bummer.
It is about a new study that just came out of the Yale School of Management, but it is a really important one. It's about the housing market and how well single women do versus single men when they buy a home, when they invest in the housing market.
Housing is probably the largest purchase made by most Americans.
That's Kelly Hsu. She teaches finance at the Yale School of Management. And she says we invest more in our homes than in the stock market. So when she and her colleague, Paul Goldsmith Pinkham, recently bought houses around the same time, they were paying a lot of attention to the transactions.
In many other settings, men do better in negotiation in terms of getting better prices. So we were curious. We weren't sure, but we were curious about whether this would play a role in the housing market.
Kelly and Paul ended up looking at data from over 50 million housing transactions. And here is what they found. On average, single women buy houses for 2% more than single men. But they also sell those houses for 2% less. So single women are getting hit on both sides, coming and going. And it really adds up.
Women are losing about $1,370 per year relative to men, because they tend to buy the same house at a higher price and sell for a lower price.
You know, you multiply that by a couple of decades, and we are talking about potentially tens of thousands of dollars before interest. This is a fairly large gender gap in dollars. And because housing is this, you know, huge investment, usually the biggest investment people make in their whole lives, it can affect how much wealth and savings women are able to accumulate versus men, and how much they are able to save for retirement. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Sally Herships. On today's show, we look at how single women are basically screwed when it comes to making the largest investment many of them will ever make, how negotiation plays into that, as well as some other reasons all having to do with being a woman. And finally, a couple of tips on how women can try to beat the system.
All the single ladies.
All the single ladies.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Salesforce, a customer relationship management solution committed to helping you deliver the personalized experiences that customers want. Salesforce, bringing companies and customers together. Visit salesforce.com/learn more.
Support for NPR and the following message come from the Financial Times. With over 600 correspondents in more than 50 countries, the Financial Times offers a unique, independent, and truly global guide to the world's new agenda. Visit the Financial Times at ft.com.
There is a lot of research out there showing that gender can have a substantial impact on the outcome of a negotiation. Basically, if you're a single woman buying or selling a house, the odds are not in your favor. Kelly Hsu says even if the buyer and seller have not met in person, they are usually aware of the basic characteristics of the other party, like gender, and just knowing the gender of the other party can affect the sale, which can be tricky if you're a single lady and you start out, you know, you make a low offer, which is, of course, what you are supposed to do in a negotiation.
So it seems like people are more offended by lowball offers from female buyers.
You said they're offended?
They are more likely to reject. Perhaps that would be the better word.
Why is that?
I am personally not sure. It is an unfortunate consequence of perhaps our culture and the fact that we may expect that women are more willing to share the pie and share the surplus from negotiation.
This is called gender expectations. It's possible that women are expected to be nicer, to be more generous, to be more thoughtful.
Oh, sorry, is that? I'm sorry.
Okay? Oh, were you going to say something?
Oh, no, but you should go.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm good. You
okay,
go.
Okay, if you're sure. It's the idea that everyone should benefit from the sale of this house, both buyer and seller. But no matter what the reason is, that is not exactly what happens when single women sell houses. Remember, single women buyers, they are already spending more, buying at higher prices, and they also sell for less. And guess who? They give the biggest discounts to.
We find that the largest discounts tend to occur when it's a female seller and male buyer. And this was surprising because female sellers actually, they already list for lower than male sellers, but they still end up giving larger discounts off of that lower list price, particularly when it's a male buyer.
Whoa.
Whoa. And it is not just negotiation. Single women also do worse when it comes to what is called market timing. That is, buying a house when prices are low and selling when the price is high. Kelly says that could be because single women tend to be more tied down. Like, they have to take care of kids or other family members. Like, they might have to wait to move for their third grader to finish school or something like that. Or it can be so they can move a relative into a retirement home.
And in case you're wondering, Kelly and her co-author accounted for all kinds of things. Education, income, age, type of home, listing agent, ethnicity. They adjusted for all of these things and the results stuck. They even checked to see if single men were making more money on houses by buying riskier properties.
Perhaps they earn higher returns to compensate them for that extra risk associated with the properties. We find that that is generally not the case. Further, we also have data on the actual dollar amounts that men and women invest in home maintenance. And we find actually single women invest slightly more in terms of dollar amounts into home maintenance.
Oh my God, we're taking better care of our houses and we're still selling them for less.
It's possible. I mean, we can't rule out that perhaps single men put in more hours, so not necessarily dollar amounts, but personal skill and labor into their homes, and that could contribute to the gap.
So this is kind of distressing, but there was a silver lining. There was some good news, depending on how you characterize a silver lining.
Was there any research about how women did when they were selling to other women?
We looked at that as well. Women on average do better when they are transacting with other women.
So there's a tip for single women. If you are buying or selling a house, like, look at doing business with a woman. You might get a better deal. And Kelly had some other tips. She says if single women are able to, they should try to think long term, to become long term investors. Because every time a single woman buys or sells a house, she is likely to lose 2% compared to a single man. And Kelly says there is another silver lining, a scenario where the gender disparity almost entirely disappears.
And that is in a tight housing market. When the economy is doing well and there are all these buyers bidding against each other for your house, the tip is if women can, hold on and try to sell when the market is tight. But the problem is they may need the money from the sale of their house sooner, and it's extremely risky to wait. The market could get better, but it might also get worse. I don't know. I'm trying really hard not to be depressed.
We were depressed, too.
Oh, man.
This disparity is not just limited to the housing market. Kelly says when women try to buy cars, there is also the same kind of negotiation bias. Even when men and women are given scripts to read, so they say the same exact thing, the price ends up coming in a little lower for men. The seller will counter with a higher price to the woman.
I need some good news. What are women better at? Help me out.
Well, you know, this could be a business opportunity. There could be like an all-lady home buying and selling business.
Yes, sign me up.
They could call it Little Pink Houses.
Or Big Pink Houses.
Big Pink Houses. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Lena Sansgiri. Our intern is Nadia Lewis. Our editor is Patty Hirsch. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.